over the past few years, there's been no shortage of frightening assessments warning that the U.S. faces a serious shortage of qualified cybersecurity professionals. But a brand new report from the RAND Corporation offers a fresh take. After an exhaustive review of existing literature and interviews with cyber experts, researchers concluded that, yes, the situation right now is pretty dire, particularly in the federal government. But there's also cause for optimism. Both the public and private sectors have already begun to respond to the shortage, and the problem may eventually solve itself. Martin Lubicki is senior management scientist and professor at the Pardee Rand Graduate School at the Rand Corporation. He's a co-author of the report, and he joins us now to talk more about it. Thanks very much for joining us. I appreciate you being on.
And thank you very much for having me.
Let's start with some of the more hopeful conclusions in your report. One of your main points seems to be that the market has actually responded to the shortage, even if it's not moving as quickly as we might want. Walk us through some of the indicators you see of that.
I think a lot of the indicators have to do with people getting into the cybersecurity business itself. I think there's greater interest among people in school. I think there is certainly a lot of interest in cybersecurity competitions. And on the other side, I see a lot of interest by universities in expanding their curriculum and by companies who need cybersecurity experts and finding ways to identify and train their own.
And in that university piece in particular, I don't want to mischaracterize the report, but I think you basically find that there, in terms of the universe of educators anyway, there really isn't a shortage.
No, I think there are enough people to be professors. I think what people are looking for are the folks that have a sort of a very special talent for looking at a computer system and understanding what's wrong, or looking at a piece of software and understanding where it may be vulnerable. A lot of that stuff can be taught. A lot of that stuff is very innate. In many ways, the best hackers are found, not made. But they have to be encouraged as well.
Right, and it may or may not depend on having a background in IT. It can come from other walks of life.
This is true. A lot of agencies that hire a lot of cybersecurity folks don't necessarily start off by asking, what are your degrees? They start off by asking, have you ever taken apart your parents' computer?
Right.
And they often find that there are personality characteristics such as curiosity, persistence, and a desire to know how things work that are fairly interesting and useful indicators of whether somebody's going to be really good at cybersecurity.
One of the other interesting conclusions you come to is that, at least on the trajectory that we're on now with this rapid buildup of capacity and trying to train this workforce, there's at least some chance that we'll get to a point where we train so many people that we actually flood the market. Sitting here in 2014, that's a difficult thing to imagine right now. But what are the things that would have to happen before we actually have an excess of cybersecurity professionals?
Well, we don't identify it as inevitable. We identify it as a possibility.
Right.
And as a caution against folks who want to throw too many people into the market, as a sort of a point of urgency. Okay, what would be the sorts of things that would cause you to reduce the demand for cybersecurity? I think there's a great deal of concern. Some might even say hype about the business. And a former economics official in the Nixon administration basically said, if something can't go on forever, it won't.
Mm-hmm.
And so that everything has its place in the hype cycle. More prosaically, I think that a lot of the software companies are starting to realize how untenable it is to make software with so many vulnerabilities in it that the hackers don't have a difficult time trying to enter organizations by taking advantage of these vulnerabilities. And so I think now more than, say, we saw 5 years ago, there's a systematic effort by a lot of software manufacturers, including the Microsofts, the Googles of this world, to try to make it much more difficult to get into computer systems by exploiting vulnerabilities. I'm not going to say their work is even half done, but I think they're taking it in the right direction.
Well, yeah, it's certainly a major focus. But in other words, if we reach an IT architecture at some point that is inherently more secure and requires less human capital to go around patching holes, then we may have too much cyber workforce than we actually need.
Yes, that is a possibility. I think more realistically, it would be closer to a tapering off.
Right.
Because, as you point out, here in the year 2014, it's very difficult to envision circumstances under which we would have far too many cybersecurity folks. but it was as early as 2007 when no one could imagine housing prices dropping as fast as they did.
I think another one of the useful things that your report does is, rather than just analyzing this big nebulous thing called the cybersecurity workforce, you try to break that down into subcomponents, for lack of a better term, and see where the most serious issues are, where the demand is highest. Tell us a little bit about what you concluded there.
We concluded that the top, variously 1 to 5%, depending on how you count, of the cybersecurity professionals were the real experts in the field, and that it was the difficulty of finding these experts which in many ways drove the perception of a problem in the entire cybersecurity area. And this is a particular problem for the federal sector, mm-hmm. because the federal sector has limits on how much they can pay people. So say you're going to work for the National Security Agency, there are a lot of non-monetary benefits to going to work for the NSA. You get to work on problems nobody else has. You get to do things that nobody else is allowed to do. It is a very high prestige organization. There's a lot of cachet in working at it. But as you become better, and as other people become more interested in the skills at the skill level you have, then the call of mission, as they would say in the armed services, only goes so far. And once you get to the salary level of over $200,000, then you start seeing substantially salary gaps. That's a price level that the private sector is willing to pay for particularly talented individuals. That's a price level that the government has a very difficult time paying. Oftentimes what you see are people leaving the intelligence community or the military, going to work for contractors and doing very similar services, but at a multiple of their former salary.
And one of the recommendations you make specific to the federal side of things is that civil service rules in this area need to be relaxed, as the NSA has done, in order to attract and retain these people beyond just paying higher salaries than the general schedule currently allows. What else could be done?
I think there could be more flexibility among and within pay grades. I think in many times if the federal government could hire people more quickly, they would be more competitive. And you hear a lot from people that things such as the sequestration was not at all helpful. One of the benefits of working for the federal government is assured employment. And the sequestration was sending an exact opposite message.
The higher skilled sort of cyber ninjas that you referred to, where you see the biggest need and the biggest shortage of personnel, those are people that take a very long time to grow. And as you point out in your report, they're actually not people that are right out of college or in their 20s. They're people that have other soft skills too. How do you develop that sort of thing in the federal government? Is it a matter of just figuring out a way to do direct hires away from industry if you can somehow come up with the money?
That is one thing. And a lot of the larger organizations have managed to at least go part of the way in solving their problem by having very, very strong training regimens. And one of the things that we found was that very large organizations can, in fact, fill some of their needs by looking at the people they already have on their payroll and finding out who among them have potential for cybersecurity work. The services do it that way. I think parts of the intelligence community does it that way, and I think larger defense contractors do it that way.
Right. And I think one of your larger points is part of the answer has to be hiring people in entry-level positions now because they're going to take a long time to grow. Is that about right?
There's a lot of truth to that. That's true. But you also have to be able to retain them.
Right. Which is probably particularly tricky with that younger workforce. I don't know how true it is, but at least we hear constantly that this is a generation that wants to move from job to job and may not be attracted to the federal service as much.
Well, and federal opportunities for young folks tend to be relatively limited if the federal government maintains its posture of thinning down its workforce.